hove around guests in a gown made of layers of veil-thin material that billowed as she moved. Scarlet had never spoken to her, but Anissa had told her that the priestess's gift was her voice. The fate could make a person betray their mother or their lover, or their most terrible secrets. Scarlet tried to steer herself farther away from the priestess. Not that there were many safe places. The throne, where Gavriel would have traditionally sat, was now gushing blood, like the bleeding throne in Dex of Destiny, though Scarlet didn't know if it was the actual bleeding throne or just a replica. Across from it was a cheery, polished wood stage that reeked of mortification and torment. It was just like the scene behind Nicholas's estate. Scarlet watched while Jester Mad moved people around it as if they were marionettes. Their arms and legs were tied up with strings, which Jester Mad magically controlled to make their movements jerky and doll-like. Scarlet wanted to cut them all free, but they didn't appear to be in as much danger as the ring of people around Poison, all nervously holding goblets of bubbling purple liquid. She wasn't sure what sort of game he was playing, but she remembered Anissa's warnings about torture and death as she noticed a few of the room's newest decorations, lifelike stone statues and melting ice sculptures of people who all held goblets in their hands. Scarlet dug her heels in and looked up at her father. "I think your fates are taking things too far. I thought you wanted your people to adore you."
"They're only having fun."
"I'm not," she tore her arm free from Gavriel. "I want you to stop this." Scarlet knew that there might be consequences, but fighting this would be worth it. "This doesn't make me want to finish conquering my powers and become one of your fates." Gavriel's face wrinkled with irritation.
"Poison, turn them back into humans. My daughter is not fond of this game."
A few minutes later, most of the statues and sculptures were human once more. But the evening's horrors were not over. Just as Poison was returning his last statue back to life, Scarlet spied a handsome face among the guards near the doors. Golden brown skin, playful mouth, and warm brown eyes locked onto hers.
"Julian."
Scarlet should have looked away. She should have done something to cause a distraction so that Julian could flee this wretched party. His disguise kept the fates away from him for now, but that hardly made him safe.
"That young guard," the Fallen Star said, following her gaze. "Do you know him? Should I bring him over here? Perhaps we can use him to test your new powers."
"No," Scarlet said. But again, she should have done things differently. She should have said anything other than that one word. As soon as it was past her lips, the Fallen Star turned toward the closest fate, priestess, priestess of the hypnotic voice.
"Bring that guard with the scar on his face over here," the Fallen Star instructed.
"Don't, please," Scarlet said. But please appeared to be about as effective as the word no. It only made the Fallen Star grin something vicious as the priestess slipped her arm around Julian and coaxed him forward.
"I don't think I should test my powers here," Scarlet said. "What if I fail like before? I don't want to embarrass you."
"I don't think that's going to happen this time."
Gavriel gave her an unsettling smile as the priestess appeared, holding on to Julian's arm. A lock of brown hair fell across his forehead. He looked far more boyish than the scoundrel she'd first met on Trista, and far too mortal as the priestess dug her fingers into his arm. Her skin shone like marble, and her flowing gown made Scarlet think of virginal sacrifices, though she had a feeling that Julian was to be the sacrifice in this scenario. But Julian didn't cower. He stood straight and tall, surrounded by brave bursts of goldenrod and reckless whirls of brass.
"Thanks for bringing me over here," he said. "I was hoping to ask the new princess to dance."
Amusement lit the Fallen Star's eyes.
"First, I need you to answer a question."
Giddy sparks filled the air as he turned to the priestess.
"Ask him how he knows my daughter." The Fate repeated the question, and when she spoke, her voice was all Scarlet could hear. It was the sound of shining lights, full moons, wishes on the verge of being granted. Julian answered without hesitation. She's the love of my life. Scarlet's heart broke and burst all at once. The sparks around the fallen star grew into wild flames.
Perhaps this is why you failed to conquer your powers. Do you love him as well?
The priestess repeated the fallen star's question to Scarlet. Suddenly, all she could think about was Julian. They were back in Caraval, tangled on a bed as he fed her a drop of his blood to save her life. She loved him then, and she loved him now. But she couldn't confess it to Gavriel.
Don't battle the question out, Tara, or it will kill you.
Tears streamed down Scarlet's cheeks. Yes, I love him desperately.
How disappointing.
Gavriel motioned to the priestess, who began to drag Julian away. Stop! Scarlet tried to follow them. The fallen star wrapped one bright red hand on the verge of catching fire around her arm and wrenched her toward the bleeding throne. Excruciating pain tore across her shoulders. Scarlet cried out, drawing looks from all over the ballroom.
I'm not planning on hurting him, and I'd rather not hurt you again. But I will if you don't behave.
The fallen star's hand lost its heat, but his grip on Scarlet's blistering arm remained. He guided her back to the bloody throne as the priestess brought Julian to Jester Mad's revolting stage.
I don't want him hearing us and putting on a performance like the one you incited with my gift.
What are you talking about? Scarlet said.
I think we're past pretending.
The fallen star dropped his lips to Scarlet's ear.
Nothing you've done this last week has been a secret. Did you really think Anissa wouldn't tell me everything you were up to?
Yes, Scarlet had.
I'll have to punish you again for that later, unless you prove yourself right now.
Gavriel sat upon his bloody throne and forced Scarlet to perch on the arm of it like a decoration. He'd called her a princess earlier, but she was just a pawn. Blood stained the back of her beautiful gown as she wondered how else Anissa had betrayed her. But now wasn't the time to worry. The entire party watched as Julian was brought to the stage across the room. Scarlet willed him to run, but he must have been afraid for her, because he didn't fight as Jester Mad and the priestess tied strings around his arms and legs.
Now, Gavriel whispered, I want you to use your powers on him to take away his love for you and replace it with hatred. Once I see true loathing for you in his eyes, I will let him leave here alive.
I can't do that.
Scarlet's voice shook with every word. And it wasn't just because every part of her being was repelled by the idea of making Julian despise her.
I can't control emotions.
Then he will die,
Gavriel said reasonably.
And if I feel you attempt to shift my feelings in any way, I will set this entire room on fire and kill every human inside.
Scarlet took a fragile breath as her eyes darted around all the helpless people in the room. Half were watching her now. The rest were turned toward Julian, tied up like a puppet on the stage. And still the colors around him were fierce and bright and full of the deep, unending crimson love. She'd never felt so much love in her life. It was pure and unselfish, without fear or regret. All he wanted in that moment was for her to be safe. And she had to take all those feelings away for him to live. Scarlet could have cried. She looked at him and mouthed the words, I love you, knowing she might never say and truly mean those words again. If she succeeded in conquering her powers, she wouldn't just be taking away Julian's ability to love her. She'd finally become one of her father's fates and lose her own capacity to love. So, before she tried to erase Julian's love, she let herself feel it one final time. She let her love out to touch his, the way two separate instruments might play together to create a more beautiful song. And suddenly, Scarlet knew how to change what Julian was feeling, how to shift his song so that it no longer matched hers. Before, she'd always tried to project a feeling or an image onto another person. But what she needed to do was to push against his feelings. She needed to reach with her magic and twist them until their colors began to shift and shift and shift and...
No!
Julian thrashed against the strings holding him to the stage. He might not have heard the Fallen Star's instructions, but he knew the Fate's ultimate goal for Scarlet. Julian knew this assault against his emotions was because of her magic, magic he'd warned her against.
Don't do this, Crimson!
The Fallen Star clapped and sparks shot out from the tips of his fingers. On the stage, tears tracked down Julian's cheeks. He was fighting her, battling her powers with everything he had. But even his fighting was helping her magic win. She could see his love shifting to anger. Scarlet started to shake. The Fallen Star grabbed hold of her again to keep her from falling off the arm of the throne. She didn't know if it was from battling Julian, or if it was because she'd finally accessed her full powers, but her body no longer felt under her control. She could feel the magic she was using, filling her and surrounding her the way her love for Julian had moments ago. It was heady and powerful. Without even trying, she could see more than just Julian's emotions. Scarlet saw colors across the room. The eager green of several fates danced around a rainbow of terrified and morbidly curious human colors. And she knew that if she wanted to, she could twist them all with a thought. It was wondrous in all the wrong ways. Every inch of her skin prickled. When she briefly glanced down, her skin was glowing and shining with gold dust and faded magic.
Finally, the Fallen Star tightened his grip on her arm. You're almost there, Autara.
Julian screamed again.
Don't do this, Scarlet!
The name sounded wrong. He never called her Scarlet. But the name didn't hurt as much as it should have.
You're close, the Fallen Star said. Let go of your feelings for him and take hold of the rest of your power.
Scarlet pushed harder and Julian's face turned into a snarl. She could see the edges of his emotions turning brown, the way something does after it's been burned. Julian bucked against his bindings.
You lied, Scarlet. You said you would always choose me.
His feverish eyes met hers, but for once, there was no warmth in them. She wasn't saving him. She was destroying him. Her magic faltered. She couldn't do it. Anissa had said over and over that Scarlet needed to become what the Fallen Star wanted most to defeat him. But the Fate had betrayed her. And Scarlet knew that even if this was the only way to best her father, it was too much of a betrayal to everything she believed in. If she let Gavriel push her into doing this, how much further would he be able to push her once her love was gone and she was a Fate? Would Gavriel threaten to kill Julian again if she refused to take away Gavriel's ability to love? And would she be able to resist him? Would she even want to? Scarlet leaned into her magic once more and untwisted Julian's emotions, freeing them until they were no longer tangled and knotted and hateful. He stopped thrashing, and his head sagged, but he still managed to look at her with the most beautiful brown eyes she'd ever seen. They were glassy and red. He was still in pain. But he was also still in love with her. The Fallen Star squeezed Scarlet's arm, making blisters break out over the skin that he'd already burned. But it wasn't enough to change her mind. He could scorch her, torture her, put her in a cage again. But he could never make her hurt Julian.
What are you doing? He demanded.
Scarlet smiled for the crowd, as if this were part of the show he'd forced her to put on. But she kept her voice low, knowing that defying him publicly could earn Julian a very swift death.
I'm making a new deal. If you want my powers, I will give them to you.
But not like this. He goes free right now, or you get nothing from me.
Blood from the throne gushed faster, coating the fallen star's arms in red.
I could kill him for your disobedience.
But then you would never get my powers. Scarlet continued to smile as more heads turned their way, probably curious as to why the show had suddenly stopped.
Do this now, or I will never do anything for you again.
Very well. I will give you what you want.
The fallen star motioned for Jester Mad and the priestess to undo Julian's binds.
See how generous I can be?
Asked Gavriel. Your precious love will soon be free. But when I see you again, I expect you to make good on your promise. You will accept your power. You will become a true immortal. And you will take away the weakness that makes me able to love. Fail at this, and I will torture everyone you care about until you are begging me to save them from their misery and finally kill them.
Chapter 52 Scarlet. Scarlet had no idea how long it would be until the fallen star came for her that night, but she had no intention of being there when he did. As soon as she was allowed to leave his horrendous party, she raced back through the tunnels until she reached her rooms in the menagerie. The lady prisoner leaped from her gilded perch in a flurry of violet fabric the moment Scarlet stepped inside.
What? Do not talk to me, you duplicitous disappointment of a woman.
Anissa's face fell into a pretty frown.
I tried to warn you. I told you that I cannot lie.
I said not to talk to me.
Scarlet ripped off her bloody gown when she reached her bedroom and hurried to put on her own enchanted dress. It warmed against her skin, as if it had missed her. Then it grew thicker and stronger as the fabric shifted from soft satin to supple, raging leather, which hugged her chest and flared out at her waist.
Scarlet, listen to me, the lady prisoner said.
Whatever you're planning, stop talking! Scarlet took out her reverie key and headed toward the door.
If you're not a traitor, then save your words to distract or misdirect Gavriel when he comes for me.
But the torture...
Scarlet ignored whatever Anissa said next. She shoved the reverie key in the doorknob, thinking only of Julian, hoping he'd already gotten far away from the palace, as she turned the magical object and opened the door. At first she thought the key hadn't worked. She was in a dungeon hallway, far more foul than the one Legend's guards had used to lock up Tella. The air smelled of damp water and things left to die. Behind the iron bars, Scarlet saw a variety of torture devices, racks and chains and ropes. And then Julian, dangling from a ceiling. Her legs buckled. She'd seen him wounded. She'd seen him dead. And yet neither of those things made this sight easier. Julian's hands were chained over his head and linked to a hook in the ceiling that left him hanging over a blood-stained drain. His shirt was ripped off, his chest was red and sweating, and his beautiful face was half-covered in a metal mask that Scarlet could only partially see because his head was bowed, as if he couldn't lift it anymore. Her father must have had his fates grab him as soon as he escaped the party, or he'd foolishly come back for her.
Crimson.
His voice was raw and muffled.
It's going to be all right.
She tried to sound confident, but her words cracked as her heart tore in half.
I'm going to get you free.
No,
Julian groaned.
You need to get out of here.
Not without you. Scarlet rose up on her toes to get him down from the hook on the ceiling, but it was too high to reach. She needed a ladder or a stool. Frantic, she ran back into the hall. A few other prisoners called after her, but she ignored them as she searched for and found a short stool that must have belonged to an absent guard. She dragged it back and wasted no time in stepping on top of it. Julian's emotions were weak, gray shadows. He swayed as she looked for the lock that held the cuffs on his wrists chained together. Only there was no lock. It was an infinity chain,
She'd have to lift him to free his hands from the hook in the ceiling, but his wrists would remain shackled. His eyes flickered open and shut.
I love you, he moaned. If I die, it was...
The colors around him flickered and disappeared completely.
No! Scarlet said. You're not going to die. We will get through this together, or we won't get through it. Do not give up on me, Julian. I'm saving you. I'm saving you. I'm saving you. I'm saving you.
She repeated the mantra as she used all her strength to lift his limp body from the ceiling hook. His skin was clammy from sweat and cold. He slumped against her, nearly knocking them both to the floor with his weight.
Julian.
She said his name like a demand as she wrapped an arm around his feverish back and helped him to stand.
We need to get to the cell door, and then I can use the reverie key to get us out of here.
I'm afraid your key won't help you this time.
Every single bar inside the prison caught fire, filling the dungeon with violent tongues of red and orange as the fallen star appeared on the other side of Julian's cell. Poison, an ever-present goblet of toxins in his hand, stood at his side, with an enthusiastic grin twisted further by the firelight. Scarlet tried to run with Julian to the door, not caring that it was burning up. But the fallen star reached it first. He opened it wide and out of her reach as he stalked into the cell. He'd taken off his crown, but his regal clothes were still soaked in blood. Red droplets sprayed the stones on the ground as he approached. Scarlet's dress immediately shifted. With a flurry of metallic crashes, it changed from raging red leather into a savage gown of steel-plated armor. Gavriel laughed, star-bright and vicious.
Her Majesty's gown. That dress never did like me.
Isn't that what Queen Zayn changed into when she died? Poison asked. I thought she was more the lover sort than the fighter.
Maybe she just doesn't like either of you, Scarlet spit out.
She definitely never liked me.
It's a shame, too. A Zayn could have been glorious.
The fallen star's fingers lit with flames.
I don't want to hurt you.
Then don't! Scarlet tightened her arm around Julian, her eyes searching for another exit. But there were only three impenetrable walls and burning bars before them. Let us go!
I'm trying to help you, Autara.
He took another step, and before Scarlet could evade him, he pressed his burning hands onto her steel-plated shoulders. Scarlet screamed and let go of Julian. Her dress's armor grew thicker, but it wasn't enough to stop the pain, and she wasn't strong enough to break free. When he'd burned her earlier, it was nothing compared to this.
Stop fighting me. I'm saving you, Autara.
Golden eyes met hers.
If you leave with that boy under your arm, you'll share the same fate as Queen Azane, who turned into that gown, and Reverie, who became the key in your hand. They were fates who fell in love with humans and let themselves become mortal and die. But magic cannot die, so when their human bodies perished, their magic was transferred into objects. Is that what you want?
If it means I'll never become like you, then yes.
Scarlet panted. The air was almost too hot to breathe. She kept trying to break free, but his grip was too tight. All she could do was reach back and press the reverie key into Julian's palm.
Go!
You can't ask me to leave you.
Julian gritted his teeth, took her hand, and pulled with more strength than a boy who'd just been tortured should have had. It still didn't have enough to free her. The fallen star gripped her tighter, searing her metal dress and branding her skin until she cried out again. But in that same painful moment, Scarlet's gown shifted. During one ragged breath, the magical dress left Scarlet in only a thin chemise as it changed into two metal gloves that latched onto the fallen star's hands. All around them, the flames on the bars turned to smoke.
Gavriel cursed.
Scarlet coughed, but she was free of his grip. Her dress had smothered his flames. She saw him battling against it, melting the armored gloves on his hands, destroying her dress, which had sacrificed itself so that Scarlet and Julian could escape.
Stop them!
Gavriel yelled at Poison. Poison stepped in front of the lock, holding out his lethal goblet, about to toss its contents and turn them to stone, or worse.
It seems we won't be great friends after all.
Scarlet and Julian ground to a screeching halt. The raging fallen star was behind them, still battling the gloves. Poison was in front of them, ready to turn them to stone. They were trapped. Scarlet clutched Julian tighter, when suddenly all of the prison bars began to crumble and reform around Poison. The thick metal poles herded him away from the door as they formed a new cage, trapping him. Fetid air full of smoke turned magical and sweet.
Legend's here, Julian wheezed. He's doing this.
Use the key now, Legend roared.
Scarlet couldn't see him, but she didn't hesitate to obey. She darted forward with Julian toward the door. But Poison was still too close. He was caged, but that didn't stop him from throwing out the contents of his goblet. Julian shoved Scarlet behind him, blocking her from the toxin and letting it cover his chest and arms.
No!
Scarlet screamed, grabbed Julian, and thrust the reverie key in the lock as she thought of her sister and safety. She found only one of them. Chapter 53. Scarlet. Scarlet fell through the doorway in a screaming blur of agonizing color, blistering orange, searing yellow, and violent garnet. Her shoulders were burning. She'd felt the pain before, but now it was all she could feel. Get her damp towels and cold water. A pair of strong hands picked her up and carried her to a cloud-like bed.
No, Scarlet choked. Take care of Julian first.
I'm fine, Crimson.
Then he was next to her, holding a cold cloth to her shoulder, easing a bit of the burn as her head fell against downy pillows and the world went in and out of focus. She didn't know how long she lost consciousness for, but when it returned, she was in a cloud of pink and gold, back in her bedroom at the menagerie, surrounded by marble columns, disturbing frescoes, and familiar faces. But Julian's was the only face she truly saw. The horrible mask was still covering half of his face, but the chains around his wrists were gone. He was standing up without any help. His chest was smooth and brown instead of red and sweating, and he was taking even breaths as he unfolded a damp cloth to cover her neck and her chest.
Is this real?
She asked.
You tell me.
He pressed an affectionate kiss to her forehead with the side of his mouth.
But how are you unharmed?
Scarlet sputtered.
You told me that we were getting through this together, or we weren't getting through. And
Julian's brow wrinkled in something like confusion.
Whatever was in Poison's goblet healed me.
I wish some would have been poured on Scarlet, Tella said. Scarlet turned to see her sister. She was perched on the other side of the bed, her delicate hands pressing another cold cloth to Scarlet's other shoulder. At first glance, she looked stunning in a gown covered with dark blue ribbons and pale blue lace. But when Scarlet looked closer, she saw her sister's eyes were puffy and her cheeks were splotchy, as if she'd been fighting back tears all day.
Tella, how did you get here?
I had a little help. She nodded toward the columns flanking the window and the room's other guests. Fates. Scarlet jolted back. Tella had gone insane. She'd brought the maiden death along with another cloaked fate who looked extraordinarily out of place as gauzy curtains fluttered behind him. He wore a rough woolen cape over slouched shoulders and a hood that kept his entire face concealed. Scarlet had to run through the list of fates until she remembered the assassin, the mad fate who could travel through space and time. It's all right, Tella said, though Scarlet swore her sister's voice was higher than usual, as if she was still convincing herself of this. They want the same thing we do. Scarlet didn't want to trust any of them, but she knew her sister hated the fates as much as she did. Tella wouldn't have trusted these two without a good reason, and poison had probably saved Julian's life with whatever he'd thrown on him.
Is poison working with you too? Scarlet asked.
We have no alliance with poison, answered the Maiden Death as the assassin shook his head.
Poison works for himself, called the lady prisoner.
Scarlet shot up in bed. She'd forgotten all about the other treacherous fate on the opposite side of the open doorway.
We need to get out of here, Scarlet yelled. She's a spy!
Of course I'm a spy, the lady prisoner said. That's why he put me in here. But I'm also on your side.
She hopped off her perch in a dramatic whirl of lavender skirts and clutched the bars in front of her.
I want out of this cage. Why do you think I sliced his throat that day?
Maybe you were bored. Scarlet knew the lady prisoner couldn't lie, but she really didn't want to listen to her.
She wanted to hate all the fates. She didn't want to look in the Maiden Death's sad eyes and remember how awful it had felt to be inside of a similar cage.
Scarlet didn't know why the assassin would be aiding their cause. He was more powerful than anyone, and yet the sooty charcoal emotion swirling around him conjured feelings of brokenness and misery.
Tella, why did you bring them here? Scarlet asked.
They sort of brought me. The Maiden Death is the one who told me you were in danger, and the assassin is how we got inside. He brought me here to search for you while Legend went to look for Julian. Did you two see him?
He helped us get away, said Julian. He was using his illusions to fight the Fallen Star and keep him busy while we left.
Tella's face went paper white.
You shouldn't have left him down there.
He can handle himself, Julian said.
What if he's been captured instead and they figure out who he is? They'll drain all of his magic. We need to get him.
She turned to the assassin.
If you go down there to save one person, you'll never defeat Gavriel, Anissa interrupted. You'll just keep repeating the same mistakes, sacrificing one of you to save another one of you.
But we can't just leave him!
Tella's face went from pale to red, as if she was afraid Legend would lose more than just his powers. She looked ready to battle the Fallen Star herself. Scarlet's ribs tightened. Her gaze darted to the empty space on the floor in front of the lady prisoner's cage, where a body had rested earlier that day. Murder was how the Fallen Star solved problems.
We're not going to leave him.
The only way to win this battle is to become what the Fallen Star wants most of all.
Anissa's violet gaze met Scarlet's.
I can't do that, Scarlet said. I tried. If I come into my full powers, I'll become someone else.
It hit Scarlet then. Maybe that was what she needed to do. Her father wanted her to change, but he also wanted someone else. Scarlet saw it whenever he looked at her with a brief bit of tenderness. He still wanted Paradise, the only woman he'd ever loved. He'd killed her, but he regretted it, because like all immortals, he was obsessive and possessive. He missed her. Scarlet's mother was what he wanted most of all. In the background, Scarlet heard her sister objecting to something, but all the words turned into white noise as Scarlet finally saw how she could defeat him. The idea was extreme and possibly preposterous, but if love was Gavriel's only weakness, then she needed to become the one person he loved.
Assassin, can you take other people with you when you travel through time?
What do you need to travel through time for?
Julian asked as Tella simultaneously said.
We're wasting time!
Scarlet barely heard the assassin's soft,
yes, but if you go back in time and make even the smallest change, you may not be able to return to this timeline, and those you love here will never see you again.
What if I just went back in time to steal a dress and observe someone in order to imitate them?
You may not change anything, said the assassin, but time travel rarely goes as planned. You may end up doing more than just stealing a dress and observing.
Who is it you want to observe? Tella asked.
but from the shake in her voice, Scarlet could tell her sister already had an inkling of what Scarlet had just figured out. I want to go back in time and see our mother. Scarlet's words should have sounded impossible, but she was standing in a room full of impossible people. 3 fates, 1 boy who didn't age, and a sister who had died and come back to life. Scarlet's idea was possible. It was just extremely dangerous. If she failed, the Fallen Star could kill her the way he'd killed her mother. He could put her in another cage, or he could keep the promise he'd made earlier and torture everyone she loved. But if it worked, she could save them all, along with the entire Empire. I know how all of this sounds, but I really believe our mother is the key to killing the Fallen Star. Remember the secret you shared in your letter? The secret that told us he loved her? I've seen it in the way he looks at me sometimes. He sees her in me, and it changes him. If I can go back to steal some of her clothing and observe her, then I might be able to convince the Fallen Star that I am her. If I do this, I think he'll become human enough to kill. Tella shook her head. Scarlet had never thought that blonde curls could look angry, but Tella's appeared furious as they bounced around her face. She's already dead, Scarlet. The Fallen Star killed her. That's why I need the assassin's help. He can bring me to the Fallen Star and say that he's taken paradise from the past. Tella scowled, hands fisting the cloth she'd been holding as if she could turn it into a weapon. Even if you convince him you're paradise, what if he just kills you? He won't. At least, Scarlet hoped he wouldn't. Not if I convince him that I'm paradise when she was first pregnant with me. Crimson, there has to be another way. He's right, Tella pleaded. I don't think you're hearing yourself. This is a dreadful idea.
No, it's not, rumbled the assassin. I've seen it work before.
Every head in the room turned his way. He hadn't moved from his position by the pillar, where he stood collecting shadows. Or maybe he was creating them. Scarlet had been living with a fate, but the assassin's power was far more potent than the lady prisoner's. When he spoke, the room shuddered at the sound of his gravelly voice. Yet, Tella still had the audacity to glare at him.
If you've seen all this, why didn't you just tell us this is what we needed to do?
In my experience, humans don't like it when I say I visited their futures and know they will die very painful deaths unless they do what I say. It only works if I let them figure it out.
Though sometimes people need guidance, the Maiden Death added.
They're right, came Anissa's voice from the other room.
Tella's frustrated scowl deepened.
Scar, this isn't our only option. I have the Rusica from the Immortal Library. If we can get some of the Fallen Star's blood, then...
I tried to get his blood, Scarlet said. That plan didn't work out.
She ended up in a cage like hers, the lady prisoner nodded to the Maiden Death.
Everyone went quiet. Tella looked as if she'd briefly forgotten how to argue. Julian looked as if he wanted to lift Scarlet off the bed and hold her in his arms forever. But that would have to wait.
This is our best chance, said Scarlet.
You're overlooking only one thing,
the Maiden Death inclined her head toward Julian and then Tella.
If this plan works and Gavriel feels a moment of love, one of you will have to kill him. If Scarlet tries to kill Gavriel, he might stop loving her, and then he won't be human.
Why can't you or the assassin do it? Tella asked.
The Fallen Star wanted to ensure that none of us ever killed him.
So the human witch who helped him create us worked a spell. If one of his fates tries to kill him, they will die instead.
Then I'll do it.
Tella's fiendish smile could have rivaled one of the fates.
I'll gladly kill that monster. If he's still in the throne room, I can sneak in and do it.
That's not going to work,
Jax drawled as he strode into the bedroom.
You'll never get near him, but I can get you close enough to kill him.
Chapter 54. Donatella.
What are you doing here?
Tella demanded.
It's lovely to see you too, darling.
Jax looked only at Tella as he tossed a black apple back and forth between his long fingers, as though he didn't have a care in the world. His lazy gaze grazed over her elegantly layered dress. She hadn't gone to the coronation, but she'd wanted to be prepared in case she needed to blend in. The gown was all deep water blue ribbons mixed with sky blue lace that made her look like a package that could easily be undone with the right tug. He, on the other hand, hadn't changed from the awful night before. There were bloodstains on his shirt. He looked as if he'd just buttoned it up over his wound after she'd left, as though she'd not stabbed him in the chest last night and ended an immortal bond. She thought he was letting her go too easily, but clearly he hadn't really let go.
How did you find us? Tella asked.
The Fallen Star has been holding your sister here for a week. This isn't exactly a brilliant hiding spot, and I'll always be able to find you, Donatella.
He took a bite from his apple before dropping it to the floor. It thumped against the marble and rolled out of the room and through the open doorway until it disappeared under the Lady Prisoner's gilded cage. We might not be connected any longer, but what was between us will never be fully undone.
That's why I want you to leave!
Tella tried not to yell. Jax always seemed to enjoy it when he was the one upsetting her. But the thin control she'd had over her emotions fled the moment he appeared.
I'll never trust you again!
You will if you want to save Legend.
Jax leaned against the closest column and crossed his legs at the ankles.
Gavriel is having Legend brought to the throne room as we speak. He likes magical pets.
Gavriel plans to have the Apothic put him in a cage and then seal it like Anissa's so that Legend won't be able to use his full powers or escape unless Gavriel is dead.
Tella shook her head. She didn't want to believe him, but she feared something had happened the moment Julian explained how Legend had helped them escape.
Legend had insisted Tella stay with the assassin as she searched for Scarlet, while Legend went to look for Julian. He was supposed to find him and leave. He wasn't supposed to be a distraction or a martyr. Julian released a curse, saying several of the things Tella was thinking. Jax laughed as he took in the crude mask covering half of Julian's face.
Seems as if you've also had a visit from the Apothic and Gavriel.
Julian gave him a foul look.
I can live with it.
That's the point,
Jax hummed. This cage will keep Legend as his pet and his prisoner. Even when Legend dies and returns to life, he'll come back in the cage, and only Gavriel's final death will free him.
There was a scratching noise, like a match being struck, as the assassin disappeared and reappeared within the same heartbeat.
He'd been by the window, and now he was standing closer to Scarlet, holding a bundle of bright clothes in his hands.
He's telling the truth. The Apothic is almost done building a cage around Legend right now.
Then get him out of there before it's done, Tella said.
The assassin didn't move, except for the shadows that clung to him, which seemed to grow even darker.
If I do what you ask, Gavriel will know it was me, and it will ruin our chances at killing him.
See? Jax clapped.
I told you that you need me.
No, we don't, Tella said.
Yes, you do. Jax gave her an indulgent smile, as if he knew this argument was already won.
I heard your plan. You'll never sneak in there successfully. No one else here can help you. The assassin will be with your sister. Gavriel knows his maiden death hates him.
The only way you'll get close enough to kill him is if you enter the throne room with me.
Gavriel already expects it. He sent me to look for you so he could use you as leverage against your sister. He'll let me bring you in.
Tella shook her head furiously.
There had to be another way. Jax would betray her again. He always helped her, and there was always an unexpected cost. But he did always help her. "What's in this for you?" Tella asked. "Why betray the Fallen Star for us?" Jax gave her a knife-sharp smile. "It's not for all of you. Just you. And I won't be helping for free. Gavriel will expect your emotions to be under my power when I deliver you. And it can't be an act. He'll see through it. If you want to get close enough to kill him, you'll have to let me control your emotions so you adore me." Tella snorted. "I'm supposed to believe that once this is done, you'll just let me go back to hating you?" "No. Once this is over, your emotions will belong to me forever." Jax's voice was unabashedly unapologetic. "That's the price of my help. You get to save your legend and kill your monster. And I get you."
"You're delusional," Tella said. "I'm not living the rest of my life under your spell."
"Then Legend will live the rest of his immortal life in a cage. Do you want to save Legend and the Empire? Or yourself?"
Jax flashed his dimples, giving Tella a playful smile.
"You're mad," said Julian.
"Don't do this," said Scarlet. But both of their objections sounded reedy and dull compared to the ringing in Tella's ears. Because Jax wasn't mad. Despite her words, she knew he wasn't delusional. He was determined and willing to do whatever it took to get what he wanted. And unfortunately, he wanted her. "If you do this," Tella said slowly, "I will hate you forever."
"No, my love. If I do this, you'll finally stop hating me."
Jack's smile vanished, and for a moment, he looked like pure desolation, a shell of a person with hollowed cheeks, fractured eyes, and blood stains on his chest. He was an immortal who couldn't die, but who could never fully live, because the things he wanted to consume were devouring him instead. Tella imagined wanting someone without loving them was like an endless hunger. Even if you managed to hold the person you wanted in your grasp, it would never be enough. And letting them go would be even worse. She should have known that things between them couldn't be severed with the slice of a blade. Or perhaps that cut had led to this. Maybe Jax had let her end their marriage because their bond had made him care for her in a genuine way, which went beyond his immortal feelings of obsession, fixation, lust, and possession. But now that their connection was severed, all that remained were his selfish impulses. Mistress Luck had warned her that if Jax didn't love her, his obsession with her would destroy her. If Tella said yes, that was exactly what would happen. If Jax controlled her emotions, she would only feel things that gave him pleasure or work to slake his unquenchable thirst for her. Tella desperately wanted to believe there was another way, but she couldn't think of one. As she looked around the room, all she could see was the damage Gavriel had inflicted. Julian in his metal half-mask, the maiden death in her cage of pearls, the lady prisoner kept like a human pet. Then she pictured Legend, trapped in a cage far less lovely than the lady prisoner's, wearing a mask like Julian's, while the Fallen Star showed him off to his friends forever. Tella took a shuddering breath. Legend was supposed to spend forever with her, not trapped inside of a cage, and even though that was never going to occur, she still couldn't let this happen. She couldn't let Legend be trapped for eternity, and she couldn't be the reason that they failed to kill the Fallen Star. She might have first wanted to destroy him because of her mother, but it was about far more than that now. She hated it, but Jax was right. Without his help, she'd never get close enough to kill the Fallen Star. "Tella," Scarlet said, "you don't have to do this."
"Yes, I think I do."
"My brother wouldn't want this,"
Julian said. We'll figure out another way.
We've been trying and it hasn't worked. The Fallen Star is the Emperor. You're in a mask and Legend is in a cage.
He definitely wouldn't want me to do this, Tella said. In fact, he'd probably be furious at her for it.
But I know he would do this for me if the situation were reversed.
He'd saved her from the cards. He'd saved her from Jax. And now, it was finally Tella's turn to save him. She turned back to Jax. What do you need from me?
Wait, Scarlet protested. Don't try to stop them, the assassin said. You wouldn't like that outcome.
There was another tiny scratch, and then the hooded assassin was taking Scarlet's hand. An instant later, they were both gone. Jax shuddered.
I forgot how creepy that always was.
You're not one to judge what's creepy, Tella said.
You'll change your mind about that soon. Now, if you wouldn't mind giving us some privacy.
His eyes cut to Julian and the Maiden Death. Julian looked as if he wanted to argue, but the Maiden Death helped him from the room, leaving Jax and Tella mostly alone. Jax had moved closer, to lean against the marble column opposite Tella. She shoved off the bed, but didn't take another step, knowing this might be her last moment to consciously make the choice to stay away from him. Tella was so ruled by her feelings, she didn't know how real her future choices would be once Jax manipulated her emotions.
Do we need to cut our hands again?
He looked intrigued by the idea, but then he shook his head.
I was only at half power when I changed your emotions before. I needed a strong physical connection to make the exchange work. I don't now that Legend's given me my full powers back. But, because of the vow I made him, I do need your permission.
You have it. But, there was something else she was going to say. Only suddenly, Tella couldn't remember exactly what they'd been talking about. Her head felt light and a little dizzy, as if she'd just drunk half a bottle of wine. Cool arms wrapped around her as she started to sway. Jax's arms. His fingers were cold, perhaps a little too cold, and yet the goose flesh they sent across her skin had never felt so wonderful. A small voice told her that it shouldn't have felt that way, that she was forgetting something she needed to remember. But then Jax was whispering in her ear, "It's all right. I've got you." He spun her around to face him. His mouth quirked into half a smile, as if he were a little nervous to give her an entire grin. Not that he had any reason to be anxious. His grin was feral and dazzling, and suddenly Tella had the overwhelming desire to become the reason for all of his grins. Why was she always pushing him away? She knew Jax had lied to her and manipulated her, but so had Legend. Legend had rejected her over and over. Just thinking of it made her feel dejected, as if he were pushing her away all over again. He didn't want her. He'd told her to find someone else, someone who looked at her the way Jax was looking at her now. His eyes glittered silver and blue. She usually thought of them as unearthly, but then they appeared deceptively sweet, as if he wanted nothing except for her to be happy.
How are you feeling now, my love?
Love. She liked it when he called her that. She knew he couldn't actually feel love, but it would be all right, because Tella could feel enough for the both of them. She might have started out as his obsession, but now Jax was hers. She gave him one of her prettiest smiles. I feel like I want to spend the rest of my life with you. Jax's dimples returned and they were glorious.
I think we can make that happen.
Chapter 55 Scarlet Scarlet wondered if the assassin always kept his face shadowed by his woolen cloak and hood. It was unnerving not to see the person who'd whisked her back in time. But it was too late for Scarlet to worry about that, or any of the decisions that had led her into this ice-covered alley from years long since past, with a fate who possessed a reputation for madness.
"Put this on."
He shoved a dress into her hands, then gave her a heavy raspberry red coat lined in thick gold fur. It went down to her knees, giving a bold glimpse of the dress's striking black and white diamond pattern.
"Shouldn't I be trying to blend in?" Scarlet asked.
"You will."
The assassin inclined his hood toward one end of the alley, which appeared to lead to the Sateen district. It was just as fancy as in the present day and full of people to match. Everyone who passed the alley wore vibrant coats lined in dyed furs. Some even carried fur parasols that looked as if they'd been made from leopard pelts.
"It's going to start snowing,"
the assassin grunted.
"As soon as it does, your mother will walk by on that sidewalk. Follow her and steal her clothes. But whatever you do, do not change the past. Today, she's learned that she's pregnant with you. You cannot mistakenly prevent yourself from being conceived. But if you alter the past, other parts of your world might be undone."
"Like my sister's birth?"
"Yes. Be careful, princess. Follow your mother and observe her until you're able to steal the dress you need to deceive Gavriel. Then leave as quickly as you can. I'll be waiting for you beneath the broken lamppost."
There was a tiny scratching sound, and then the assassin was gone. Scarlet hurried to put on the clothes he'd given her. Her scorched shoulders burned whenever fabric touched them, but the cold air and the rush of time travel had dulled much of the pain. The first snowflake fell a moment later, and Scarlet started toward the mouth of the alley, where icy bricks turned into neat lanes covered in crisp flakes of white that glinted like the start of something new, something that she hoped would be quick and simple. When she'd first proposed the idea, she'd imagined going back in time to spy on her mother and steal a dress from her would be like when she was very young, and she would sneak into her mother's closet to try on her fancy lace slips. A little risky, but not in a way that could cause real damage. Scarlet wasn't going to change the past. She was just going to observe her mother, take one of her gowns, and maybe a bit of her perfume along with it. But that was it. The hard part was supposed to be convincing her father she was the paradise of the past once Scarlet returned. Seeing her mother walk down the snow-covered street was not supposed to shake Scarlet's world or make her forget how to breathe. If anything, seeing her mother as Paradise the criminal was supposed to ease some of the guilt that Scarlet had been carrying around. But as Scarlet followed her mother down the street, for the first time Scarlet saw her not as she'd been in Scarlet's memories or imaginings. Scarlet saw Paradise as the woman who Tella had always believed her to be. Paradise glided over the street in a skirt that was such a pure shade of white, it made the freshly fallen snow look gray. She smiled at everyone she passed, tipping her head and making her red feathered hat bob. These people must not have known she was a criminal. Or they all liked her so much that the ones who did know kept her secret. She looked the way love might have looked, if love looked in a mirror, infectiously happy and radiantly beautiful. She skipped inside a fanciful dress shop with a pretty purple awning, and Scarlet didn't even think before following her. There was a display of imported hats in the corner, and Scarlet darted right to them, hoping to hide from anyone's notice. Not that she needed to worry. The eyes of the women in the shop went directly to Paradise. There were only three of them, but Paradise commanded their attention like a queen ruling over her subjects. The lady setting up a display of ribbons dropped a spool,
A plump woman who'd been about to step into the back snapped around, and the young girl who'd been spinning in front of a mirror froze. "Hello, Minerva," Paradise called to the plump one who'd been about to leave. "Is my order ready?"
"I have no idea what you're talking about, darling."
"Yes, you do. Gavriel ordered a dress for me. It's supposed to be a surprise, but I found out about it, so I plan to surprise him instead."
Paradise clutched her chest dramatically, reminding Scarlet a bit of Tella.
"I'm going to wear it tonight and ask Gavriel to marry me."
"You're asking a man to marry you?" cried the girl who'd been spinning. "That's forward."
"I'd rather be forward than backward."
Paradise spoke